This is the Horse Radio Network. Well, before we get the show started, Horse Radio Network for the first time has a wide selection of Horse Radio Network merchandise available for the holidays. Hats, saddle pads, masks, clothing, mugs, and so much more, either screen printed or embroidered. Get your orders in now for you or your HRN listening friends. Visit horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner on the homepage today. Happy holidays, everybody.
This is episode 597 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation, on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by ProStride. On today's show, we will be joined by Dr. Steve Latimer, who shares more success stories of ProStride. Then, we are going to resurrect our old amateur spotlight segment with Dr. Catherine Dunworth. After that, Patty Mayer finishes our Through the Levels series with the Grand Prix, and then Reese and I have a trainer tip.
This is Reese Coppler-Stanfield from Loxahatchee, Florida.
And this is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Well, hi there, Phil. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited, really happy that we've got Glenn with us here tonight.
I know. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, guys. It's so good to be back. Merry Christmas to everybody and happy holidays. I wanted to say that from the Horse Radio Network to your fans.
Thank you. Happy holidays. I can't believe it's Christmas is almost here. It's crazy.
It's been a little while since I joined you, and partly because I was sick, but that was most of the reason. But I'm feeling better. So
good.
Doing better, and I'm eating again. So that's all good.
Yes, that is really good.
That's feeling better. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great diet plan. I lost 30 pounds, but I don't recommend it.
Don't try this at home.
No, it's not the best way to do it. But I do have some exciting news for you guys, too. We, Jennifer and I, took a ride over to the World Equestrian Center here in Ocala today. And we had been there for a couple times for tours while it was under construction. It's still under construction. Don't let me kid you. There's still 1,000 workers there. But the parts where the show is going on, there's a Western show in there right now with about 1,500 horses. And take any place you've been to, even some of the ones overseas that you thought were cool for horse shows, they're not. this place is freaking incredible. There's four very large indoor arenas that are heated and air conditioned with stands that I think seat 1500 in each, but they're huge. I mean, these indoors are huge, and they were doing a show in one of the indoors. They're basically a quarter of the indoor was the show, and the rest was warm up and stuff. But there's little things like when you go to Kentucky Horse Park, their sound systems at all those arenas suck. They're awful.
They do. Yeah,
they didn't spend any money on sound, and you can't understand a word. That's what you get. Well, the sound systems here are amazing. The sound in the barn. Now, keep in mind, there's 2,000 heated air conditioned stalls throughout the system of barns.
Wow.
And the stalls are incredible. The walkways, just everything is thought out, right? The wash stalls, just the stalls themselves, everything is just amazing. And the barns, it was chilly today. It was about 50. And in the barns, they have them set to 64.
Wow.
So everything is consistent throughout. You can walk from the barns into all the indoors. It just is an amazing situation. And then you go outside and you come up to the hotel / Grand Prix arena where you guys are going to ride, which is just unbelievable. And the footing everywhere is amazing. And then just barn after barn. We walked for a very long time to get to the large arena, which take the arena in Kentucky, take the outdoor arena in Kentucky, and that's what this arena is. It seats, I think, 9,000. But it's so well thought out, down to the little things. Again, when you go to so many horse shows, you notice these things.
Yeah.
So we had to go to the bathroom, and we went to the bathroom in the big arena. There must be 50 stalls in the guys and 50 stalls in the women's in each side of the stands. And you know, when you go to the bathroom in Kentucky, there's like 4 stalls in each bathroom, and there's a line a mile long. It's those little things, though, that make your experience good or bad, right?
Sure, sure. Oh my gosh, that's fabulous.
It's just everything is so well thought out and laid out. And then I didn't realize this. We knew when we were there in March, they had just decided to build a conference center. So they built this enormous building. What we didn't know is they are building four more that size. There's going to be five conference centers that are about 100,000 square feet each.
Wow.
You could have Las Vegas size conferences at this place. They're enormous.
It's just
crazy.
Well,
they're going to have to build more hotels and some gambling too.
They are building more hotels. So the big hotel will be the expensive one because that's like a 4 or 5 star hotel. And that's at the end of the Grand Prix Arena. So they're building apparently now three more hotels on property. Then you drive out toward the campground, which has 300 sites.
Wow.
And let me tell you, these Western people drive some freaking expensive rigs.
Yes.
They're buses. I mean, they drive the big RV buses, the kind that cost $500,000, and they were lined up, you know, 100 of them. Their trailers are ridiculous.
That is so cool. That is awesome.
It's got some great stuff going on.
I know, right? That's fantastic.
There's a complete gas station that is made for trailers, and there must be 20 pumps, but there's so much room to turn around and pull into the pumps. It's the little things, right?
Sure. Oh my gosh, it's fabulous.
Full experience. That sounds kind of cool.
Oh, it's amazing. Your guys are going to love it when you come here. You could hold very easily a World Equestrian Games there with all the disciplines and not have any problem. It is that big.
They're already designing
the cross country course that's getting put in soon. And keep in mind, they're using about 800 of the acres for what they've done so far. There's 4,500 acres. So the rest of it's going to be farmettes and condos and apartment buildings and all kinds of stuff. So they haven't even started.
That's super exciting. Yeah, that's great for your area too. I mean, that's fantastic.
It's good for the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our amazing thing that we saw today.
I love it.
Now, the Western people aren't so good about masks and social distancing and stuff. That wasn't really, I don't know how it is down in Wellington, but it wasn't great.
So far, so good. I think everyone, you know, everyone here has been really quite good, honestly, because, you know, they don't want to get shut down. We're all here and we spent a lot of money to get here. So hopefully it'll continue. But so far, so good.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm excited to have you guys come up. I'm sure you'll be up at some point for some dressage show or another, Reese, at least a
while. Yes, that would be so fun. We would love that. We're working on the plan now. So it would be super fun to come and get a different venue. And because that's what happens here in Wellington, right? All the horses go in the same venue. So it's really nice to have another option of another place to go. So that's really cool.
Well, we'll be waiting to watch you when you come.
I love it. Absolutely. Well, Glenn, this is such great news. And we hope you and Jen have just an absolutely fantastic holiday with health this year for sure. And we can't wish you guys a better day.
Well, thanks, guys. And here's to 2021.
The better. Cheers to 2021 for everybody. Absolutely. Thank you, Glenn.
Well, Phil, what do you and Meredith have planned for the holidays?
Pretty much just hanging out with each other. That's the best thing to do right now. So
yeah, I think that's what we're all doing. Yeah. Well, Travis is going to be joining us here in Florida. So I'm really excited to have him join us. And then it's the same. We're going to be pretty quiet. Maybe there'll be a beach trip, cause we're sort of close to the beach. But yeah, we're the same. We're really keeping it pretty quiet this year. And normally I would travel home. And of course I really miss, not being able to go home. But we also feel that's the safest, thing to do. So we hope everyone just kind of hunkers down and enjoys being with their close loved ones. I'm really going to try to make Travis watch some Hallmark holiday movies. I've never been successful in 14 years of marriage, but I'm going to give it a try again. Every year,
Why don't you just download some good, Christmas comedies?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find something to watch. So no, that'll be really fun. So yeah, and Phil, I'm not gonna lie, like already been busy down here. Not that you necessarily want to hear that, but it's already been good. This week we've had a visit from Charlotte Bradaw, the U.S. team coach. We've had, again, everybody has been very good here. We're all masking and socially distancing and outside, but We had a visit from our saddle fitter today because our saddles haven't been fitted since we left in March. So that needed to happen. I was pretty desperate on a couple of them. And I'm sure everyone else is in that same ball game. And today I ordered, I have two CDI horses. So I have to be honest, my shad belly needed a little updating. So I did that today. So it's been fun. Everything's still a little bit different and everyone's trying to be really safe, but it was fun to kind of do some of those things. And we're starting to get into the swing of things, which is fun.
Well, Reese, this is going to be our last show of 2020.
I know. I think everybody's cheering. Not that we have really, you know, I have to be honest, one of my highlights of 2020 has been our podcast. And what people don't know behind the scenes is what happens behind the scenes. And Paul, our producer, is in England and Phil's in Canada and I'm here in the US. And we're a little family on Thursday nights. And I look forward to checking in with those guys. And it's real. Like, we hear about what's happening in each country and we've all had our own challenges. And so I have to be honest, it's been so fun to bring these shows to everyone and has really kept 2020, at least a little, we've enjoyed really connecting with you guys. So
yeah, we try to be positive. We brought some fitness stuff. I mean, you know, just a reflection on the show. We've been doing a lot. So, and it has been a highlight of my week to kind of interview people, and it's sort of a different way of socializing. You know, so that's been good.
Yeah, it has been really fun. I've really enjoyed, and it has been really a highlight. When we were all been in quarantine, you know, we could at least get together with all of us. And I don't know Paul, but I would in person. But Paul, if I hear your voice, I would know exactly who you are. So it's been really fun to be able to have this opportunity and to meet and chat with you all every week. It's been great. So one of the things that we did and we decided we wanted to give back is we are going to be announcing our virtual lessons. This was so hard. I said to Phil, I'm like, I wanted to give everyone a lesson that submitted something. We're really excited about our virtual lessons that we're giving away to our community. We are going to extend it. We have one Valentine's Day one. We really, really wanted to extend to Valentine's Day. So we're going to keep that coming. And again, we can't thank you guys enough for helping us stay here and committed and just, we love our community. So it's been a real highlight of 2020 for us, as many of us have had many, many low lights. So we can't thank you guys all enough and the Horse Radio Network for being our, well, Phil and I record on Thursday evening. So it's our Thursday evening social activity and that's been really fun. So we appreciate it.
Yeah. So I guess everybody's just going to have to listen until the end of the show to
yes. Drum roll. Yes,
that's I think that's okay. It gives a little anticipation, but we do have a great show. After this commercial from ProStride, we're going to come back with Dr. Steve Latimer.
ProStride is the all-natural solution for lameness. It uses the power of your horse's own blood to relieve pain, reduce inflammation, and improve mobility to keep them sound. ProStride can be completed stallside by your veterinarian in just 20 minutes with no need for trailering. Research has shown improved performance and lasting results with a single injection. No series, no daily supplements, and no monthly regimen. When every stride counts, ProStride. Learn more at ProStride.com.
Well, tonight we are very excited to have Dr. Steve Latimer of Northwest Equine Veterinary Associates on the program. Welcome, Dr. Latimer.
Thank you, Reese. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice.
I've been practicing for 32 years now, and I started primarily doing lameness work in about 1992 and have, for about the last 20 years, have focused nearly exclusively on doing lameness work. And now I am, for the last 3 or 4 years, I'm exclusively lameness work. And my practice is about 60% lameness work total as a practice. So we do have some backyard people and anything from backyard people up to pretty elite athletes. So we have a real broad spectrum of practice, and there are 6 of us in the practice.
Yeah, where are you located?
We see horses in the greater Seattle area.
What a beautiful area. I love that area. It's so very different than where I am in here in Florida, for sure. So tell us, how did you get started using ProStride and working with Al Manor?
So early in my career, as everyone did in the early days of treating lameness issues, our only option was corticosteroids and hyaluronic acid. And so for years, that was the foundation of our treatment. And as soon as biologics became available, I immediately was quite interested in them. And one of the big issues is if anyone out there has ever had a laminitis secondary to corticosteroid use, one is enough for your entire career. You don't ever want to have another one. And I've seen two in my career. And so I just increasingly became unhappy with not only the use of corticosteroids, but the duration of efficacy with corticosteroids. I don't think they last nearly long enough. And even though people say that they get their horses maybe injected every 6 months with corticosteroids, really the duration of efficacy is maybe 8 weeks, and then your horse is just kind of running on empty until you do it again. And so I was seeing increasingly the veterinarians around here injecting horses with corticosteroids every 3 months. And to me, that was just too much, because if you really dig into the research, there really are significant detrimental effects to using corticosteroids, and including the increased risk of infection in the joint when you go into it with a needle. So I was really happy with latching on to using biologics, and I have to say, initially I was so happy with what I was using that when Al Manor came out with ProStride, I was a little skeptical about changing. And for a few years, Mark Schindel would always grab me at our continuing education meetings and say, "When are you going to start using this?" And so when I did, I kind of jumped in whole hog and kind of jumped in head over heels, I guess, and really started using it a lot because I wanted to know how well it works. And so we're getting close to probably 2,000 kits of the ProStride now. And so I have a pretty good idea when I like to use it, what horses I like to use it on, et cetera.
Is there particular cases that really... that you can remember, that you can think of, that have really sold you on the ProStride product?
Yeah, I could name a number of cases of stifle injuries and stifle arthritis that I really jumped into using it on. But really, some of the most basic ones that have been so rewarding for me are a lot of these older horses that have chronic arthritis, and I can think of many horses that have had chronic arthritis that basically they just quit responding to corticosteroids. Some of these pasterns and coffin joints and fetlocks and stifles in particular, that you could not get the horse comfortable with corticosteroids. And I've just been so impressed with how well the ProStride works in those joints that have not responded to corticosteroids. And really one of the beauties of the ProStride is you have not only the ProStride portion of it, but you get a large volume of platelet pore plasma that you can expand your ProStride with. And so really for joints like sacroiliac joints, it's great because you can expand the volume significantly so you can treat a very large area. So some of the clients that I've used this on that were really unhappy with corticosteroids, they're just, you know, they really love using the ProStride now.
Absolutely. So tell us, I mean, when you first talk to a client who is questioning, you know, kind of on the fence or doesn't understand, how do you say, okay, why don't we go ahead and use ProStride? Like, how do you work with a client like that?
I would say because we all are so familiar with how long it takes these dressage horses to really become good at their game. And so many of these clients that I'm talking to have a horse that maybe the horse is incredibly loved. Maybe it's a little bit overweight. Maybe it's not as fit as we all would like it to be. Maybe it's got some metabolic issues. You know, we all see those horses that have either insulin resistance or, Cushing's. And so those are a lot of the clients that first that I'll present this to them and basically just tell them that we have a lot of other options besides corticosteroids to treat joints with. And corticosteroids probably are not the best option for your horse just because of not only some of the risks, but because the duration of efficacy is going to be short. And I just present it to them that ProStride is a product that we can put the centrifuge in the tack room. We can dry your horse's blood. We can treat your horse today with a product that is came from your horse's own body. So there's not any risk of contamination from, you know, some other source, and that we're likely going to whatever joint we treat with that is likely going to be comfortable for anywhere from 6 to 8 to 12 months, based depending upon how much pathology there is in there. And I think clients really, really appreciate the fact that not only we're treating with something from their horse's own body that's using their own immune system to make them comfortable and also heal over time, and that it's going to last longer. So it's going to be a longer period of time before we have to put a needle in that horse's joint again. And so we're reducing risk to the horse by doing that.
I'm just wondering if you've had any cases, or you probably, go to a farm and the owner's pretty upset that their horse is lame. And then, you know, with this product, you can turn things around, I think, fairly quickly and fairly effectively. Is that something that, you know, that you still see with clients who are surprised by the change in their horse?
Yeah. And as we all know, the horse community is very small. And so once you do a few horses in a barn that maybe they've had some other product injected and the horse still wasn't satisfactorily comfortable, and you treat it with a product like ProStride, and the horse not only improves in their comfort, but sometimes some of the other parameters seem to improve, like the quality of the fluid in the joint, or maybe in these cycles that we do a lot of ultrasounding on, we see less debris in the joint. And so the joint just starts to look healthier in general. And so not only those clients seem to be so impressed that it kind of starts kind of a grapevine of people talking to other people and saying that they should consider doing that instead of maybe other products that they've been using. And so, you know, and the cost of ProStride is quite a bit more than other products, but I feel just the benefits of using it far outweigh any cost concerns that people may have.
Yeah, no, so fantastic. It's such a cool product, and it's so interesting to hear how it works. And we've gotten more and more familiar over the last couple months with the products. And Dr. Latimer, if our listeners have any questions or would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
I'd love to help anyone out, Reese and Philip, that have any questions about my use of ProStride, and they can reach my practice website at nwequinevet.com, and I'd be happy to either I can get back to them, or you know, one of my other great associates could also help them out.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, and we hope you have a very happy holidays.
You too. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
If you've ever had a horse with diarrhea, you know what a frustrating problem it can be. Finding an ingredient that works to dry up the diarrhea becomes a high priority. It turns out that researchers have found one, a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii. It has been proven to improve and halt episodes of diarrhea. It supplies specific nutrients to the lining of the small and large intestines, and these nutrients promote healing of irritated tissues. It also supports improved starch and sugar digestion in the small intestine, reducing the opportunity for imbalances to occur in the hindgut. Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products, contains Saccharomyces boulardii, along with a blend of fermentation solubles and stomach buffers. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of any age that are suffering from diarrhea. It also supports a healthy digestive tract in horses at risk for gastric or colonic ulcers, such as performance horses or any horse that is constantly on the go and exposed to stressful situations. For best results, Nalox Advanced should be fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, tonight I am just thrilled to have one of my friends and my dear vet to all my little animals, Dr. Catherine Dunworth, on the program. Dr. Catherine, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. This is great.
I know, we're so excited. And we were chatting last night. We actually did one of our internet lessons together last night. And we have to tell the listeners, I think you have lessons for the rest of your life because you do take care of my sweet animals. And I have a very old dog and who you take such great care of. And a couple years ago now, I don't know how I saw you, but we were chatting one day and you said, well, you tell everybody, how did we get connected and on this journey together?
You were at the farm where I board and you were teaching Jen, I believe, who is the trainer there and one of my good friends. And I remember thinking, oh, this could work. And I said, oh no, you needed some flea meds for Annie. And I said, would you trade flea meds for a lesson?
And I said, absolutely. And so it began.
And so it began. So the madness began, yes.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your history.
So I'm from Ireland. I was born and raised in Dublin. And I have always been completely horse crazy. But my family is not at all. So I didn't start riding till I was 12. And I got 6 lessons for my birthday when I was 12. And my dad said, that's it, no more. But of course, that didn't, you know how that goes. And then I, growing up after that, then a typical barn rat, you know, working for lessons and riding whatever I could. And then I went to vet school in Ireland and I came to Kentucky for a summer job at a thoroughbred farm. And I decided this was where I wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
So I finished vet school and as soon as I could came and moved over here.
I love it. I love it. So now tell us about your wonderful horse, because he is really a treasure.
He is. He's amazing. I mean, he really is. He's incredible. He's, I'm not sure how old he is. I think he's around 9 now, I think. And I've had him since 2017. I bought him in the spring of 2017.
And how did you find him? This is a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I found him at a dealer. I went to a horse dealer to look at another horse, actually, that she had put on YouTube. And I had called her about that horse. And she said, no, I've already sold that one. She said, but I'm driving right now with a truckload that I've just bought from a sale out west. Come and see me tomorrow. And it's about 2 hours from where I live. So I called Jen, my trainer and friend, and said, right, we're going on a road trip. And so we went to this farm, and there were, when she said it, a trailer full of horses, she meant like an actual, you know, one of those big semis that they use for cattle.
Yes.
That full of horses.
Wow.
We weren't talking a horse trailer. So she goes to these sales out west and loads up the trailer and brings them back. And he got off the trailer the night before, and this was around lunchtime the next day. And there was like literally 2 dozen horses tied on one side of the barn, 2 dozen horses tied on the other. And you just walked down the aisle and said, I'll try that one, that one, that one, and that one. And then we saw this horse, and he's standing there, and he was kind of skinny, but he turned around to look at us, and he had this big head, big nose, and just real striking color and gorgeous eyes and these gigantic ears. And we both looked at each other and said, and that one. And so they tacked him up, and it was all Western tack, so that we had rocked on up in our boots and helmets and jaws on. These guys must have thought we were, I don't know what they thought. So they said, oh, we haven't ridden these horses yet, so we'll ride them first before you do. Thank you. And they got on this horse that we had picked out, the dun, big dun. Well, they said he was a quarter horse. and they trotted him around this round pen they had. And me and Jen looked at each other and we said, oh my God, like he just has the most amazing movement. Like he does not, he was a working ranch horse. So as Jen says, they must have sold him because you know, to sit to that working on a ranch all day would have been pretty hard.
and you did the DNA testing, right? So what is he?
Yeah, I did the DNA testing where you send the hair off to Texas A&M, and he's a Holsteiner thoroughbred quarter horse. So I guess appendix, warm blood cross.
Yes.
But he's a real old, yeah, he's real old fashioned done, like old school. He's got the big dorsal stripe and the zebra stripes on his legs and the black tips on his ears.
I'd never seen the zebra stripes on a horse's legs before. And I saw him and I thought, wow. So enter the picture. I've been coaching Jen, Catherine's event coach for 20. Well, we don't even talk. It's over 20 years now. We've very much grown up together. Yes. We've grown up together, Jen and I, and coached a lot of times and I adore her. And so you came to me and you said, okay, you know, you want to change for some flea meds. And I said, yeah, well, I have an old dog who is still with us. And actually she frequently makes appearances on the radio show, but, sweet Annie. And so we started and you said, what were your goals? What did you say you wanted to do when we started together?
Well, Jen had sort of talked me into trying for my bronze medal with this horse. And of course I had to Google that because I had no idea what it was. I had not ridden, you know, I'd obviously done flat work and stuff like that, but mostly fox hunting and low level eventing, you know, for me before I started riding with you, dressage was just a way to get to the cross country course, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess my goal was to, once I read about the bronze medal, I thought, well, that's a good, like, long-term, you know, no time period goal. You know, there's no pressure on time or anything like that. So that was kind of the long-term goal. And then the short-term goal was just to ride better. I mean, I had this horse that had this amazing natural movement, like beautiful mover, and I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things, so you said to me, okay, so our first lesson for the flea collar, which, you know, is like a drop in the bucket at this point. You said to me, I would like to do this. Is this possible? I said, yeah, absolutely. I think this will be a fun journey. And you said, okay, well, where do we start? And so we started with our first lesson on how to go on the bit. And we have worked toward now. You are absolutely doing a solid second level test and all the things in the second level. But one of the other things I was so proud of you is you said, what about fitness? And I said, well, fitness is a real thing, especially when you have to sit his really big trot, right? So tell us, what have you done with that? Because you've been amazing. You've probably been better than Phil and I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely. Well, better than Phil.
It was getting to the point where stuff was getting real. You know, you would say engage your core and I would be like, what core? What's happening? There is nothing, you know? And I just felt like a floppy fish at the end of a line on top of the saddle. I thought like, this is ridiculous. If I'm going to take this seriously, I've got to do something. And it's like, I rode 4 to 5 times a week. It's not that I wasn't riding, but it's different, you know?
Yeah.
So I signed up for the Nicholas dressage rider training thing during lockdown.
Torture, as you would call it.
Yeah, torture, Nicholas torture episode. And I just, you know, I just went for it. I did it. I said, right, this is going to happen. We're going to do it. And I knuckled down and got the 12 weeks done. And, you know, I would text you, you know, week 9, you know, week 9 core. I was like, oh my God, I'm dying.
Yeah. No,
it was tough. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough 12 week.
Yes.
Especially if you've never done that kind of stuff before. That was tough.
But the unbelievable on how it helps your riding. I really
changed it, like totally changed it.
Absolutely. Completely changed your riding. And once you were able to do that, and once you did the program and you were so much fitter, then you were able to really, really ride. And that's when, you know, you were the first one to be like, here's my stirrups for No Stirrup November. I was okay. And your sitting trot now and your ability to give aids and your ability to use your body has just completely changed.
The ability to use different legs that, you know, before that was a concept I didn't understand, you know, the different legs at different times in different places.
Yeah. So tell everybody, how are you now on your bronze medal journey?
I've got my first level scores. Yay.
Yes.
Also during, you know, when we didn't know what was happening early in the year, you know, March time, we were, you know, we did, it was all up in the air. You know, the whole show schedule was out the window. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to go for those scores. And I had joined every organization under the sun, it felt like, to do all this stuff and paid all these dues to all these places and done all these stuff. Mm-hmm. I decided I would do the freestyle. I decided, why not? If we're going to do this, let's do it.
Yeah.
So you gave me a freestyle to do for the season. And that was very, very challenging. I have to say that was way harder than I thought it was going to be, but in a good way. In a good way. So I managed to get my first level dressage or freestyle score as well.
Yeah. No, it's been, can you give a plug for the brain training book? Because you really.
I did the showing. I had shown, but I have a child. She's 14. So I hadn't really shown since before she was born. And I never really showed a ton before then anyway. Not really. But the show nerves were getting to me. You know, I was not the fear of hurting myself.
Right.
I guess just performance anxiety.
Stage fright.
So, I know it sounds obvious now, but like my first shows, I was like, where's all that stuff I've learned? Why did it just vanish out of my brain? Why did 30% of all the knowledge I've accumulated just go poof? You know?
And you also went to a workshop by yourself. You were super brave. You're like, I'm going to this workshop. I was like,
Don't go to a horse show by yourself. It's it's not fun. I had a minor nervous breakdown. So this whole journey's had its ups and downs, but mostly ups. But that show was a complete fiasco, a disaster. My freestyle, oh my God, it was embarrassing. It was so bad.
Nobody remembers. We watched the video. Awful. We watched it, and what did we do?
Terrible.
We watched it once.
Yeah, Reese was like, no, it can't be that bad. It can't be. What? Sit down now. Because she's on the phone. I was having a nervous breakdown. I said, we'll watch it together. It can't be that bad. Honestly, you think? And then I remember clearly you were watching the video and you went, oh.
It was pretty sad.
Why are you riding like that? Oh, my God.
We did have a Saturday night emergency phone call together.
As I'm sitting alone in my Airbnb.
I was like, you cannot go do that again yourself.
That was the low. But then doing that same routine, the freestyle again at the KDA fall show, that was
beautiful.
The first one I did, that was awesome. Yeah,
it was awesome. So, it was late in the evening and it was just, she nailed it. And it was kind of the end of the season and it was really, really fun to watch. Yeah. And I love it. Well, Catherine, we can't thank you enough for sharing your journey. One of the things that I've just been so proud of you is whatever Philip and I, because you are an avid listener of the podcast, whatever we recommend, you do. And you're drinking the Kool-Aid, but you do, but it's working. And you're a great example of like why we do this show and the advice we're giving. Yeah. And it's been pretty cool to watch you succeed. And I can't wait to continue on your journey. And, you know, like we were saying, now you're doing some internet sessions while I'm gone. I miss you guys. I see the indoor and I'm like, oh, I miss everybody. But it's really fun to see you on your journey. And I can't wait to continue. And Annie and I can't thank you enough for all our, and Ollie and Molly.
Aww, thank you.
She's the best vet ever. So I hope everyone has a vet as good as us. So, thank you, Catherine. And we wish you a very happy holidays. Give Doolin a kiss for me. I always bring him sugar because he's a dressage horse now and he eats sugar. So give him some sugar for me.
Of course I will.
Okay. Well, have a great evening and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. You too.
Well, we are entering a new year shortly, thank God. If you're looking to start the year off right, then consider a new Bait saddle. Bait saddles are the saddle brand that truly puts your horse first. Enjoy comfort, optimum balance, and seamless contact with your horse, leaving you free to concentrate on your aids. Consider the new Bait's Artiste Dressage Saddle. It features a movable flexicontour block, adjustable ergonomic stirrup bar, and luxe leather. The new Bait's Artiste Dressage Saddle has a position so natural and a connection so sensitive that the saddle all but disappears and your performance is amplified. Let's hear what Allie Saxon, the United States eventer, has to say about it.
I really liked the streamline look that it gave. I love the Advanta, and I love the close contact of the Advanta, and I saw very similar features in this saddle as the Advanta had, so I was really excited to see how it felt once I sat in it. Sitting in it, I liked the close contact feel that it gave it right away. With the Webbers, it also gave the ability to kind of really wrap your leg around without having any interference. Right away, the balance felt super, very comfortable. The panels were nice and soft on my thigh. Everything about the saddle was clearly well thought through, and as a rider, it's nice to sit down in a saddle that feels designed not just for you, but also for the horse's comfort.
Learn all about Bait saddles at baitsaddles.com. That's baitsaddles.com.
All right, everybody, I've got an announcement from EcoGold. They want to give you some cash. You heard that right. By placing your order at ecogold.ca from now until December 20th, you are automatically entered to win a weekly draw to win $200 cash. EcoGold saddle pads are engineered to keep the horse's back comfortable while keeping the saddle in place for a safe, competitive ride. They have impact protection through the seat, and the ultra-thin flaps provide the rider with better communication and a more stable riding position. Available in both English and Western styles, shop the entire collection at ecogold.ca.
Well, everybody, I can't think of a more fitting guest to have as our last guest of 2020. We have our favorite, Patty Mayer, is on to go through the Grand Prix test. So early this season, as we were going into lockdown, we had a listener question who said, I would really like you to go through the tests as trainers, and what are some hard things and pitfalls you find? And so we called our friend Patty Mayer from California. Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's fun. I didn't know it was going to be your final 2020 guest. I think final 2020 anything is awesome. The last of 2020, perfect.
I didn't mean it like that by any means. And actually, Christmas time is really fun for you and I, because we spent Christmas and holiday time in Germany together. We're not going to talk about when, but many, many years ago. And we were talking about mulled wine, actually, before we got on the air. And we would go to the Christmas market. And it's one of my favorite memories of us being in Germany together. So that was
drinking
really
hot Glühwein and freezing.
Oh, it was so cold. Yeah, it was really cold. But it was wonderful. So, Patty, we haven't talked to you in a while. We hope you're doing well.
True. I am. California is not surprisingly warmer than usual. So, so it's been a lovely winter so far. And we have, obviously we've had very few shows, but right. I at least went over, we had two CDIs at Thermal, which is essentially Palm Springs. And I went over and scribed for the first CDI, which was fun. I scribed for Bill Warren for the weekend. And that's always,
my neighbor. He's my
glad.
Favorite.
I know.
I waved to him today. He's literally my neighbor across the street. So it's fun. That's awesome.
So,
I love it.
Yeah. So there you go. So anyway, so that was super fun. And what else is going on? I happily have Stephen Peters coming to give a clinic this weekend. Much fun.
Oh,
and I know. Be jealous.
I'm jealous. That is awesome.
And other than that, we're all, everyone is busy schooling and I think riding really well. So that's really nice.
I love it.
So there
Fantastic.
You go. There you go. So the Grand Prix.
We are here.
Grand Prix.
We made it.
Woo! And yes, so we have at the end of the year, we have the ultimate test. And
we have the ultimate.
So awesome. And I guess what we should do is just kind of blast through it. And then if we feel like we need to come back at some other point and add things, we will, just kind of talk about something else in detail. Does that make sense?
I think that sounds great, because we have talked, if you know, again, this has been a long segment. This has been all year. And, you know, certain things we've already discussed. So it'll be fun just to put them all together. So why don't we get started?
Okay. So just starting with the stuff that we've already done, right? So anticholectic cataracts, halt, immobility. By Grand Prix, they are dead serious about immobility. Your horse looks left, your horse looks right. They are not, they do not think that's funny. Fluke, no. Proceed, collected trot. Again, that walk step in between that they sort of let you get away with at fourth level, not happening. You better be halt to trot.
Yes.
And then you track left and deep think corners, think accuracy. By this time, you should have enough, not to say control of your horse, but you should be able to really consider the corners, consider the straightness, and make corrections that allow you to have a, you know, when they say HXF, that nose is leaving the track at H and you are dead straight by the time you're, you know, by the time he's off the track, headed straight to F. And you are collecting at F, not 3 meters before and not careening around the corner. So fine. The third movement is an interesting one that people tend to mess up a little bit. And that's a K to B half pass. So mm-hmm. it's a fairly steep half pass, especially since, you know, you want a horse that has this, you know, beautiful expressive movement. So couple of things that people tend to do wrong. I don't know. Maybe I've done them myself. It's vague.
No, I've never done them.
No, not us. No one on this call.
Never.
Never. So for sure, ride that deep corner before K. And there, in my opinion, both eyeballs better be pointed, the horses, that is, better be pointed to a little before B, a little to the right of B, because you're going to need to half pass all the way over there, straighten, change bends, and half pass all the way across. So arriving a little before B, I mean, not like insanely before B, mm-hmm. Is super helpful. And in order to show this test, you really have to be able to dance over there. So here are the things that go wrong. Horses know how to passage by now. So
yes.
Some of them like, this is awesome. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lock my back. I'm going to lock my jaw. And I'm just going to do this kind of something that is more passage-y than trotty over. The judges don't think that's funny either. Now, you can get a more expressive trot that might add a hint of medium or a hint of passage in it, but it can't be something that's braced and not fluidly sideways. So you have to get to B, you have to be there a little before B, because you go K to B half pass right and then B to H half pass left. Yeah. Well, you know, oddly, your horse is not like 1 inch long. So you do need time to straighten, change the bend, in my opinion, put both eyeballs of the horse towards H, and dance that across. If you have a horse that is better half-passing one direction than the other, take that into account as you think about where you're going to arrive in terms of B. Because they have to make it to the edge and know the judge, and the judges do notice you don't make the whole way across. And for me, it's really a matter of fluid, of it being fluid. I mean, you're going to get a nice 7 if you just don't make a rhythm mistake and just fluidly dance over. It doesn't need, you don't need to have a horse that's the best moving horse on the planet. It just needs to be accurate and rhythmic. I mean, the first thing they talk about is the regularity and quality of the trot. Yeah. Uniform bend, collection, balance. And it just should be like a dance. By this level, it all should be like a dance. And I'm sure it is for me. Always. I never make a mistake. But meanwhile,
good. And no, I was just going to say, I think the biggest fault too, because I'm currently working on this, is making sure as you make the change that the shoulders and or haunches don't lead, right? The shoulders should be in front of the haunches, right? And that's something that's very common as you make that turn, you know, at the switch from right to left, that if you don't have your inside leg on, you may be haunches leading before you even know it. So that's something the judges, you're going right toward the judge. They can see all of the alignment.
Yeah, they can see all of it. And by the way, pushing the haunches more sideways does not make the horse go more sideways. In fact, it's going to make the horse go less sideways. The shoulder leads a little throughout. It makes it so much prettier. It makes it easier for the horse to go sideways. Just shoving their haunches over, not going to help you. So again, halt immobility, take a deep breath, don't just run them back in the five steps. And again, this is again something where the judges get serious. So I have done the following. I have had a beautiful halt, which has been square. I have reined back five steps in diagonal pairs. The horse has taken a breath prior to trotting off, and I have gotten a five. So no. when they say immediately proceed collector trot, again, they're not kidding.
Yeah, they
when they say halt immobility, they are not kidding. And you're really going to get a five for missing any of those things. And obviously, you know, if the horse's mouth is open or whatever. And I have actually, based on our prior conversations, taken to practicing my halts a little more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I was just going to I was watching the Grand Prix at WAG because we had a wonderful opportunity to do that in North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Someplace. And I was really surprised about how crooked a lot of the reinbacks were.
Oh, yeah.
You got to practice it.
And again, it's just one of those movements where the horse's movement, you know, doesn't matter as much as the accuracy and the fluidity of it. And the straightness matters, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And the lightness. I mean, so many horses are like, oh, by this time, you know, we are really just, you know, these are buff horses, right? They're buff and they're forward. And some of them are like, not super duper interested in the whole reinback concept.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, as we go through this test, right, the reinback is basically worth the same as the passage, right? Depending, you know, on where it is.
Well, same as one passage anyway.
Right, it's one passage.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's also the little points. Like, even if you have the best passaging horse in the world and you miss your reinbacks and you're not straight on the center line, right, we harp on this stuff because it's all the way through and it becomes even more expensive because if you make a mistake in a reinback, which is a non-brilliant movement, you don't have another real great opportunity to make that up, you know, because then, you know what I mean? Like a lot of times.
It's a silly place to lose. It's a silly place.
Yeah, don't lose points in any of these places, which is why we've harped on it the entire year of like when you go through this stuff. But now, like you said, they're not playing. Like they will give they'll give you a five for that. And they're like,
And then all you can do is kick yourself. Right. Cause then it's like, oh my God, how stupid was that? I'm not.
I got a bad score in a non-brilliant movement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then extended trot from M to V. So again, dead straight, but here, now we get into the money, right? So
now we're starting a party.
Extended trot to passage. Right. Passage is up and, you know, it's forward upward into passage, right? It's not haul back and, you know, collect them from the front end towards the back. No. Even from the extended trot, it is from the hind leg move. It's a from the hind leg into a half halt movement.
Yeah,
and
you
better figure out how to make that half halt up and forward and light and instantaneous. And rhythmic and all of those good things. Then there is, and so passage, you know, so you come from this huge extended trot with luck into a nice, big, powerful, and yet balanced passage. Then you're going to make a super sharp left turn.
Yes.
So a reminder in that, I mean, again, it's possible I might do this because, you know, not every horse is as balanced as, you know, like maybe you cheat that turn a little bit. So you're getting from K to D without having your horse lose rhythm and balance. You better have that inside leg on because if not, they could fall over. And again, if you don't have a balanced passage, you are not going to have a balanced P off. And oh, by the way, the transition score is going to be not great. So either you need to be like, you know, so balanced and so genius that you can truly ride essentially, you know, a 3 meter corner, 3 meter angle. Or if you need to cheat that, I advocate for cheating it until your horse is that balanced, because if not, you're going to really not have the transition to the P off. The P off passage transitions are to me something that you have to ride a little bit differently depending on who your horse is. You know, on exact, right? I needed to really, really, he had an amazing passage and not the best P off in the world. So what I did was I powered him up into this like fairly shockingly good passage. And then I tried to essentially keep the passage-y feel in the payoff because he was 6 miles long. And once his, you know, and he just couldn't really carry well enough. I mean, you know, not like we got horrible scores on the payoff, but it was a little bit cheaty. I have, you know, I certainly have had horses who are better payoffing horses, and you have to kind of play the payoff. The passage comes better as you play payoff. Mm-hmm. With him, the payoff came better as you sort of thought passage. And I think you have to figure out on your horse how they best maintain their balance. Yes. But I've certainly seen, you know, great horses with great riders at the Olympics ease that payoff a little more forward than they ideally want, right? Because that's the way the horse got the transition and that's the way it kept rhythmic. So, you know, regularity is so important. Taking weight behind is so important. If they're traveling a little bit, are you going to get a great score? No. But is it better than, you know, having a huge rhythm mistake? At least in my, you know, I'm not a judge who's allowed to, you know, I mean, I'm only a small R, so I don't judge Grand Prix, but at least in terms of my experience scribing and competing, they're going to give you a little more slack as long as you're keeping rhythm and it's not like, you know, the horse is running backwards or has had some sort of a weird rhythm problem. Does that sound right to you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. I mean, the horse I have now is actually fairly good at both. If he's going to be weak anywhere, it's going to be the piaf to passage transition, sort of in muddling the transition. So I have to be a little bit careful at that. But I have to power up sort of going into that extended trot because that's a pretty long set as you come around and then you go to extended rock, right? You go passage, extended walk. So you really put in the power and then they want to see, can they walk? And that's
Really walk. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And boy, is that trainable. So I think you're training. So extended trot up and forward into the passage, balanced turn into the payoff in a way that you really have to think about how your horse does that best. Again, with Cato, because he sits too much in the payoff and I will get stuck there for 20 steps and be like, hi, no idea how to get out of this. Can't go. So, I mean, I do kind of do the transition in and out a little bit. I have more transition steps and fewer payoff steps because I just get stuck. And then with him, I can really fire the passage up, walk, and he walks flat-footed in a beautiful walk. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to, I have a client, I mean, a client of mine who's a very, very good professional rider. So, I mean, so a lady who I help who has a horse who is amazingly hot, like, you know, can I do more dressage for you sort of hot? And the worst thing she does as we're heading towards the Grand Prix is he has a lot of trouble from the passage to the walk. So we spend, and I mean, I'm going to say if I teach her for 45 minutes, a solid 20 minutes is spent on pick up the reins at the walk, drop the reins at the walk, canter and walk and drop the reins, passage, walk, drop the and we are just going to bore this horse into submission. We're going to, he's going to just learn that he gets to walk around on a, you know, an extended walk and he's going to do it until it's just boring and like, you know.
But it's kind of like that idea of the on off switch, right? Like I flip you on and I flip you off because you walk the extended walk on the diagonal. Then you have to walk a collected walk through the short side. Right in front of the judge.
Without some passaging or piaffing, yes.
Right, without them passaging and piaffing and coming through the corner and then picking up with the passage again. So the test is, can you let the horse stretch? Can you pick them back up and keep the rhythm in the walk? Again, we go back to, you know, that walk score is arguably more important than the passage. I mean, they're all important, right? But that's right in front of the judge. There's no scheming that. You're doing that or you're not.
Right.
Then you pick up your passage.
It's all about, you know, sorry, I just was going to say, it's all about managed tension, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, you guys both have talked about powering the horse up, which is building tension.
Yes.
But the test says, can you build the tension? And then is your partnership good enough that you can build tension and then take it away? Does your horse trust you? And, you know, all of these great things in your partnership. And that should be building as you're training your horse and showing it through, you know, from the moment that you introduce collection, which is a tension building idea, that you should also be able to take it away at any point as well and be able to walk or stretch trot. Like, you know, you introduce an idea of collect a trot and then stretch trot and walk, collect a walk and stretch walk. But, you know, these horses that, you know, I think that people are kind of training a little bit too fast. Like it might be your second horse to train to Grand Prix. And then all you're thinking about is all the, you know, the brilliant movements, but, but you can sort of forget that you have to be able to turn it on and turn it off as well. That's my 2 cents about
that. Well, and all this stuff is building, right? Like all this stuff, you know, we're talking about it in the Grand Prix, but if you listen to all of our segments that we've talked about through the levels from training level have been building to this. These are not, or should not at this point be new concepts. You know what I mean? Right. Like this shouldn't be new. Yeah. This is just, it's basically like you're going for your PhD or, you know, you're going into your, you know, your thesis and you're defending it. Like you've already done it. And so this is just the final test of how well you did basically as you train your horse. So yeah, these are not
actually, but one thing I do want to say, which is, and this goes back to Phil's point, there are some horses. I mean, this is also why there are very few Grand Prix horses, right? Because of exactly Phil's point, which is some of them are like my little Bob, right? You know, I had this little half Arabian, half Dutch carriage horse who I could do the whole Grand Prix on him from the time he was probably, you know, 9 or 10, but I couldn't do it in a horse show and keep his brain between his ears because it just, having those things come so fast for him just was too emotionally difficult for him. I mean, and he was one of those horses who the minute you picked up the reins, the minute you put your leg on, and I don't mean kicked him, I mean like put your leg, just hung your leg on his side. He was like, oh my God, what can I do? Can I pee off? That would be great. How about some ones? Okay.
Like, yeah.
Calm down. And that can be, you do need to be able to dial up and dial down their emotional level. And some horses, you know, some horses are never going to be hot enough to do a Grand Prix, and some horses are never going to be quiet enough in their brain to do it. They have to want to.
That can be a problem with the super pleasers, right? We love to ride them. Yeah. They're amazing, but they're just looking to please or to get the next lump of sugar, because that's a little bit how I train anyways. you know, if you have to reward them for also the stuff that we think, oh, that's simple, you know, but if you're, as you're training along, you have to reward them for the stuff that you just take for granted sometimes. Because otherwise they will only want to do because they're just such good pleasers, you know, they only want to do what you know, the fun things, right? What you get happy about. They're just trying to please you. And, you know, when you're smiling and going along and doing this wonderful Piaf and Passage ones tour, they want to give you that because they feel that they're pleasing you and you're so happy and, you know, the smile on your face, they can feel the smile through your body. And then, you know, then they only want to do those things. And then that's the problem of a super pleaser.
Yeah, that's true. Patty, we do the walk. Let's go back to the test. We do the walk on the short side, right?
And then we proceed the Passage at M. So here, among the many, many mistakes I've made all the way through this test in my 20 years of riding Grand Prix tests, I mean, and I've made like literally every mistake you could ever make on anything. So here's the issue, right? You go collected walk, and then here are the possibilities. You try to go up to Passage and they pee off because you were not thinking forward enough. You were just thinking collection, or your upper body tips forward. And at least that, which is my aid for pee off, and then you're stuck. Or they Passage with their hocks a little too far out behind them. And so what I tend to do, and again, my current Grand Prix horse is not the hottest thing on the planet. So I think medium. So I go walk and I think medium trot and I don't do it, but at least my first impulse is up and forward, and then I'm going to half halt. So because I've just gotten into more trouble by trying to make it from a walk straight up into a passage, because then I can, like, anything can happen for me. And again, I just have a Grand Prix horse who isn't the spiciest thing on the planet right now. Very correct, but not great. Anyway, then so that's my biggest problem with the transition to them, that this particular horse will have fallen asleep as I've walked around the corner. So passage, and again, this is a sharp right turn. Think about how, first of all, practice it, but also think about whether your horse can balance enough in the passage to make a sharp right turn, get into a piaf, get out of the piaf, which is, we've discussed, is my issue. Take a fairly sharp left turn, and then the passage to the canter, which I love. And so many people mess up. It's hysterical. Like, some of the best riders you will ever see counter-canter. Don't ask me why. Some of them, they haven't quite, the half-halt doesn't quite come through, and they get an extended trot. Or they just keep passaging, or they keep piaffing. For whatever reason, the passage to that canter, people mess it up all the time. And I think it's a little bit a matter of practice. I was taught to do it from a shoulder, from a passage shoulder four, so that you can get a little better half-halt through. And that has always worked for me. But, like, I mean, I, you know, riders who are like a zillion times better than me, I see that as, for whatever reason, that they get mistakes on that. And maybe it's because it's so easy that they just don't think about it.
Right.
But I've certainly seen enough counter canters at it, enough extended trots, that I'm going to say, worth making sure you know how to do that. I'm an advocate of shoulder four and a good outside eight half halt. So then all the way around the corner.
Yes.
And then the 9-2s.
Yep. You better be ready.
You got to be ready, but B, and you got to be straight. So you, because it's nine of them and you want them from big strides, you should, you know, figure out where you're going to, where that fifth one is on the center line, right? So you need to make sure that you have, that you're the same number of changes on one side of the center line, the same number on the other. I believe in taking risks. This is a good place to take a risk. So you want a bigger canter than you, you know, you want a collected canter that's super expressive, but maybe even a little towards a medium, because you want those changes to be big and expressive and dead straight. There's zero excuse at this level to have a change that swings side to side, especially in the twos. And then show that collected canter around the corner. MXK extended canter, I am, again, a giant believer in, you know, show an extended canter. Don't show something that's like a chicken version of a medium, like extended, as extended as the horse can go. Uphill, go, gallop, like you're heading towards a fence. Go. And at this level, they better come back at the insertion of your knee. I mean, it just should be so light and so easy and so straight. Now, here's the hardest, what I think is the essentially the hardest part of the Grand Prix in terms of training it, which is the zigzag, because there's so many things that can go wrong.
It's so hard.
And the horses, it takes so much time for the horses to coordinate it. Because again, you typically have a fairly hot horse with fairly big movement having to go, you know, sideways. So here are the issues, right? You have to go equally sideways to the left and to the right of the center line. Mm-hmm. So if your horse half passes awesome left and okay right, you're going to end up with a zigzag that is totally off center.
Yes.
So on a show basis, right, don't go as far left, even if they're awesome left. And you can only go as far left as you can then go to the right, right? Because you need to stay centered. You need to keep them balanced, and you need to have that moment of either straightening for the change. I mean, I ride a straight change, and then I bend to the next side to go sideways. So I don't change the bend and the flying change at the same, and the lead at the same time. I've seen it just because, A, I've done this, made this mistake, but B, I've seen other people make this mistake enough. So typically when people, not typically, if you make a mistake by trying to change the bend and the lead at the same time, you often, sometimes you won't get the change of lead, and then you end up counter cantering your zig when you should have cantered your zig. And that's really, embarrassing, bad, hard to fix. So I really do a straight change. And again, I mean, if you're a better rider than I am, and that would be not that hard. And if you are you know, have a better horse, also not that hard. Like you, I'm sure you can do it, but I've seen lots of people make that mistake. And, you know, not like, you know, the great international riders, but, you know, the normal human of us riders.
Yeah.
So I count it as one, two, straighten, change, two, three. So I get that is three. One, two, mm-hmm. straighten, change, two, three, four, straighten, straighten, change, two, three, four, straighten, straighten, change, two, three, four, straighten, straighten. So
yeah.
I try to ride at least one or two strides straight. Then I'm asking for the change and go over.
Yes.
And that's my way of making it safer for me. You know, again, the good and the great can do it their way.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. Well, everybody finds their own way. But yes, I agree.
Right. And I do not go farther over than the horse can do equally on both sides. And I will spend, and by the way, in terms of schooling, if I need to help a horse go more sideways, if I'm, let's say, doing half pass left, and they're having a little trouble half passing left, first of all, I want to make sure my shoulder's leading, that I'm not trying to push the haunches over, but then I will leg yield them sideways. So if they're half passing left, I will leg yield them left a little bit stronger until they feel like, oh, you know, and just a couple of strides and I'll go forward. And then I'll practice that a little bit until they feel like, oh, it's okay for me to go sideways. I'm safe going sideways. I'm strong enough. I'm supple enough. I'm coordinated enough and I'm brave enough. So I can add, so when you're schooling it, you can add a little speed. You can counterflex them a little bit. You can help them understand that they need to go a little more sideways. But that's, you know, evenness, suppleness, uniformity, fluency, those things are what's going to help you, are what's going to get you a good score. Again, it's not really a brilliant movement. It's an accuracy movement, and it is tough enough. If you are, you know, a super good rider and try can do it brilliant, go to town. But get it accurate first.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And fluid. Accurate and fluid, that's what really helps you. This is when it gets real, right? You have to do a flying change right by the judge, and then
dead straight, and then track to the straight, right.
Track to the right for your extended canter.
Nope, for your 15 ones. We did the extended canter for your 15 ones. So we did the extended canter, then we did the zigzag, and then we track right and we did the 15 one.
Yeah, now it's real. I got to memorize my test. Sorry, it's getting late because
we're going to do our 15 ones. 15 ones. Okay, so here's the deal. So 15 ones, it does have a double coefficient.
Yes.
It's, you know, obviously there are a zillion ways to make mistakes in flying changes, like not counting right. For whatever reason, you know, because a lot of us will practice 17 ones just because it helps to know you can do it, or 20 or whatever, you however many you like doing. You do not get extra credit for having more.
Count. Right? You don't get extra credit. Count.
Right. And, you know, sometimes a horse, I mean, I've certainly seen, and I saw this in the CDI, a horse who changed in front and never changed behind. So did 15 clean ones in front and zero behind. That was great. It was unique.
I feel for that rider.
So, and then there are the people who, again, I'm about to say you get a little desperate. I don't know how to do ones this way, but a lot of people swing the horses swing in the ones.
Don't do it.
I certainly have done. Yeah. I mean, for whatever reason, cause I tend to ride changes probably a little too fast. I tend to not swing them, but Cato, again, going back to my current horse, like it took him, first of all, it took him forever to learn ones. And it took him forever after that to not do essentially 15 ones on the spot. So it took him quite some time.
That's a real problem,
to canter
actually
forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I did two things for that. One is I did not punish him. I just was like, dude, you're going to figure it out. It'll be fine. I just kind of calmly sat there. And so if he wasn't, you know, I just didn't worry about it. I just wanted them to be straight, wanted them to be clean. If they weren't covering enough ground, it was going to happen eventually. He just needed to learn to coordinate them because he does a little bit of a rear through. So he tends to get his front legs too high. And he just needed to figure out how to stay more level. It's not everyone's problem. Like,
yeah,
please be a little more on the forehand.
They all learn differently, right? Like, it just depends. Yeah.
The other thing you can do is when you're schooling, start early, and in schooling, just start early, do four one-time changes on the diagonal, canter, four strides, do four one-time changes, canter, you know, so you just do series, shorter series, canter forward, so they reestablish this sense of canter. But I have to say, it was super frustrating for a long time. And if I were to pat myself on the back, the thing, I never punished him for it. I never freaked out. Was it disappointing and annoying? Yes. But he just needed to get used to it and understand how to use his body.
Sure.
And it was the thing that was hardest for him. So yeah, whatever.
So you finish your ones. This is the hardest part. The zigzag to the ones to now the canter pirouettes. This is hard.
Yes. So down the center line. So again, there ain't no hiding.
Nope.
So
zero.
Down the center line, pirouette to the left at L. So try not to leg yield to the right prior to the left pirouette.
Yeah, no. Stay on the center line.
Mm-hmm. Think shoulder four. And then here's my view. The pirouette, you start the first stride you do on the spot. Then you turn a tiny bit. Then you turn a tiny bit more. So you think about riding them bigger as you go. The first couple of steps you do very small. And you think about riding them bigger as you go to keep the fluency of the canter. But you have got to begin and end on that center line.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have to say, happily, I currently have a horse who is like, yes, I sit here and I can pirouette for the next 6 years. So, I mean, it's super easy for him. For horses who are bigger and bigger strided or have a little more trouble sitting, this, you know, it just takes, if it takes years, it takes years. You know, they need to be strong enough. They need to be happy enough. They need to understand that they can canter on the spot, then bend, then take a small, then move their shoulders a little bit to the inside and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And it is an incredibly fun movement to ride. You finish that first pirouette, you better be staring at the judge, right? So if you are off center, big problem. So you should think coming out of it straight onto that center line. And I think moving forward to that change, because the pirouette's very, very collected. So I think you want to get them a little bit more in a level balance. I mean, uphill collected, but not like insane, not sitting back like a pirouette. And then, so I move forward to the change, I then collect, and then I do again the next pirouette.
Yeah.
When I'm schooling them, I start this when the horses are, you know, third level. I start doing quarter pirouettes on and off the center line and half pirouettes on the center line fairly early, not because I expect them to be on the center line, but because, again, I want the horse to get used to the fact that they're going to get to do them here, that it becomes kind of an okay thing. So then we're going to get to the next hardest part of the test, which is
trot, which is so important, because remember, horses, it comes back in the intermediary one, but horses have done canter walk from second level to intermediary one. Yeah. So there are more people, and I am not saying I'm totally one of them, that getting the canter trot, which I think is really important to note, because the FEI is saying, don't forget the canter trot transition. It's an important transition. Big transition. It happens right in front of the judge, and you cannot hide it because it's right there. It's right there in the corner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you got to power up for the extended trot, right? So you come back, and then you got to power up for a diagonal again, because you're not done yet. You're getting close, but you still got a big mountain to climb, right?
Right. And going back to the canter to trot, just a reminder, we've talked about this before, collecting more does not help the horse go from the canter to trot. Right. Then it helps them go from canter to walk. It helps them go from canter to collect a canter. Let them out a little bit to get to the trot, because they are not going to collect down to a trot from a canter. Yeah. So you're right. Extended trot and then collect a trot up the center line. And
this is the money. This is the money.
Yeah. But horses love, every horse I've ever had has loved the D to X passage, right? They think that's awesome.
Love it.
And then here's the problem. Now we're going to pee off at X, and we have taught all the horses to halt at X. So, like, this happened to a friend of mine in the CDI a couple of weeks ago. Like, literally, her, you know, her horse is a young Grand Prix horse. You know, was like, well, I'm tired, and it's X, and I halted X. And so she did in the CDI. That was not super popular. And so then my friend had to get her back into the PF. So while you're, when you're training the Grand Prix, spend, and when you're training all the way from training level up, make sure you come down the center line a lot and halt someplace else. So not halting at X is a very good idea.
Yeah.
If you're wanting eventually to have a Grand Prix horse.
Yeah.
So again, sure. The pee off on the spot, for whatever reason, every horse I've ever had, and you guys can tell me if this has worked for you, every horse I've ever had, is this is the best pee off they do, is on the center line. Don't ask me why. I think it's because you don't have to do that sharp turn. So you can really, again, you can kind of fire them up into the pee off. Every horse I have, it's the best pee off they do, even though it's the end of the test.
Well, and I have to be honest, I do this movement now every day because, you know, I have a Grand Prix horse ready to show. And we do this every day before we go to go to bed, before I finish.
Yeah.
Right. This is his finish every day. Now, we do not halt at G. You mentioned that. You keep trotting.
Yes.
You don't want to halt at G because that becomes a thing. You want to do a transition of some sort to collect a trot. Whatever you want to do. I usually just trot and then I tell him how wonderful he is. But I do this every day. So he knows I can rock this out. And I'm tough on him because I'm like, come on, this is the last thing you have to do today before. And he's well paid. You know, come on, let's rock and roll. And I mean, man, I just praise him and he just gets bigger and bigger. And it's really, it's a fun thing. And he knows he's finished when he's done with it. If he's good, you know, he has to do it again. And so you really can play to that because he just now every day he feels me turn and he gets bigger. And it's such a cool movement. And it really is kind of, you know, this is why we train them to be able to sort of do that. And you hear the whole Grand Prix test. I mean, it is like a roller coaster up and down and all around. But you know, when you really feel it and you do it 20 times in the arena, you start to get good at it. It's so difficult, but it really, when you have a horse, and we've all had horses now that can do it, and it's such a pleasure when they do it, and it's really an amazing feeling. So
can I actually go back to one other issue with the pee off on the center line?
Sure.
So the one time, I've ridden tons of thoroughbreds who can do pee off, but I haven't shown one. But one of the things that used to happen when we were all on thoroughbreds was, instead of halting, so, you know, dressage up the center line, the warm bloods all halted at X instead of pee-offing. The thoroughbreds, you started to pee-off and then they took a big flying leap to G. So, a lot of, like, you know, very, very good thoroughbreds who did Grand Prix were like, oh my God, this is like, you know, too exciting. And this goes back to what Phil was saying about these horses really need to relax when you ask them to relax and hot up when you ask them to hot up. One of the reasons that when I start teaching half steps, not like crazy young, but, you know, 6-7 years old, I'll start playing, not half steps like with someone on the ground with a whip, but, you know, a little short, quick, you know, in a 20 meter circle a few times, you know, because I mean, I just start playing with it fairly young. And I start playing with it in 20 meter circles and in serpentines and on center lines, because eventually they need to calmly pee off on the center line. And so to me, part of my kind of play with horses is, you know, kind of playing, getting a little short quick. And when I do it, I don't start on the rail. And I know most people do, but I tend to not have someone on the ground to help. And for me, it's super important to get them used to being off the rail. And it's just it's as easy off the rail as it is on the rail. And because I'm not going, you know, because I'm not starting by, quote, by pee-offing, I'm starting by, let's get a little shorter and quicker. Let's get a little bigger and longer. So it becomes just very much of the play part of riding for them. So there you go. There are horses for whom, you know, here's one other thing I've done. I have gotten Levade on the center line and kept.
Yeah, it's bad.
Not fun at all.
So,
a reminder again, you walk the horse through, You want the horse between your aids. You do not want that sense of, oh my God, it is panicking. And now we're going to either leap to G or run backwards, or you know, it needs to be super rhythmic and super happy in its work and happy in the connection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is such a wonderful test, and it is just such a cool way to think about wrapping up. I mean, obviously, as you get to this level, then you have the Grand Prix Special and the freestyle, and maybe we'll talk about those because those are kind of a whole different ball game. But, you know, it really to ride, if you ever get the opportunity to ride a Grand Prix horse and then get the opportunity to show it, you really respect. It's so fun. It is so hard, but it is so cool and so fun. And you really respect, you know, when you see the greatest of all time doing it, and it's pretty cool. So, well, Patty,
When they can do it without the mistakes that we all have all the time.
Right. Exactly. Well, Patty, this has been just such a fun journey with you, and thank you for answering our call answering our listener question. This became such a fun journey for us all in 2020. And we hope everybody has enjoyed our whole segment. And like you said, there are still some things we could roll back and pick up in 2021. But in general, we hope you and everybody enjoyed all of our segments. And Patty, how do we find you online if we have questions?
You can find me on Facebook under Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. Or under my business, which is Bailiwick House. I think I don't know, is that Facebook page? Maybe not. Maybe it's Patty Mayer Dressage. Or my email is bailiwickhouse@gmail.com, which I will spell B for boy, AILIWICKHOUSE @gmail.com. Or you can text me or call me on 310-729-3365.
Fantastic. Well, Patty, we hope you have an amazing holiday season and a great New Year's party, which you always do because we've been there for that. And we can't wait to touch base with you in 2021.
Yay. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year. All of the above. Yay.
Happy 2021. Thanks, Patty.
I hope. I can't wait. Okay. Bye now.
Tired of having your boot sucked off mid-stride by sticky mud? Mud control grids are the solution. Frustrated by mushy, slippery messes at the paddock gates? Mud control grids are the solution. Is keeping the ground underfoot stable in your sacrifice areas and dry lots causing you to lose sleep? Once again, mud control grids are the solution. You're seeing a trend here, aren't you? Well, Han Plastics Mud Control Grids really has come up with the best solution. Unlike other plastic grids on the market, mud control grids can be installed directly on top of the mud. Let me say that again. Right on top of the mud. You don't need to do any ground preparation. The mud control grids are an instant solution to your high-traffic muddy areas. No more having to fill in with sand, gravel, shavings, or even old carpet. What's more, mud control grids will allow grass to grow underneath of them so they can be taken back up once the area is dry or recovered. Or you can leave them right where they are and take over again when the rainy season comes back around. Han Plastics mud control grids are designed to be installed as a temporary or permanent solution. You can take them with you if you move. Put down a lot, put down a few. Add more each year. The ultimate mud control solution. Check out Han Plastics Mud Control Grids at mudgrid.ca. Oh, an added bonus, your tractor or gator won't sync up to its axles with Han Plastics Mud Control Grids in place. So there's that. www.mudgrid.ca.
Well, Phil, I think there's maybe still a little time to get any of your total saddle fit needs, your total saddle fit stability stirrup leathers that you and I love. Also, the girths. I don't know if they have a gift card option. I'm sure if you give them a call, they probably could do that for you. But you can
I think
certainly
probably if you're in Canada, it's probably too late.
Go with the gift card route.
Yeah, maybe go with the or. The better thing is if you're a little disappointed with your Christmas presents that you got, or you know, somebody didn't get you a total saddle fit, girth that maybe you were hoping to get that you can log on in January and fulfill your own wishes.
I love it. It's such a great company and they've been such a great supporter of us and truly their products. We have tested them over the years. I think Justin's like, here, test them. And oh, we do. And they've held up and look the same and look fantastic. So we cannot thank Justin and Total Saddle Fit enough. We love their products and they're great holiday gifts or gifts for January. If you really want to start working on your position, they're fantastic.
This week's dressage training tip is brought to you by Total Saddle Fit, home of the shoulder relief girth at TotalSaddleFit.com.
And Phil, we have a Total Saddle Fit tip of the week, trainer tip of the week. You and I are going to take care of this one. We got a message from Nancy, very, very sweet. She told me about her horse and I absolutely loved it. But her question was, and she was wondering why we haven't talked much about online horse showing. And it was that something we could discuss on the podcast. So I'm going to let you start, Phil. Let's talk about maybe why, no reason why we haven't talked about it. We love this tip and question, but why are some reasons why sort of the national federations haven't picked up on these online horse shows?
Well, I know that there were a number of clubs hosting these this year because of the pandemic. And I thought it was a great idea. I mean, had some students enter them. And I think there's a kind of a bit of an issue in keeping all of the standards the same. So I know in when you enter an online horse show, you can ride through a test and record it and then say, oh, I didn't like that. And then do it again and do it again and do it again. And so I think part of horse showing is having a equal grounds of competition that you have to kind of show up and perform on the day, on your time, no redos, no mulligans, you know, that's just kind of a horse showing thing, a competition thing. So, but obviously, I mean, I have nothing against the online versions. It's just, I think it's really hard to keep the standard the same for everyone across the board to have a fair competition on the day.
Yeah,
but
I think that
it is a good different way to compete and to get great feedback from judges and to get some scores and all of that great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, you and I are fans of anytime you really buckle down and ride your test. It's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like that is a good positive thing.
You run through an entire test and you know, there's certain skill in being able to, you know, make a mistake and let it go and move on and carry through. Because we know in horse showing, you can certainly, you know, get a 4 or 5, you know, mess up a movement, get a 0 or a 1, and then have to just shake it off and ride on and carry on and do a good job with every single one of the movements.
Yeah, I know that's a huge skill, right? Because, and I'm a fan of that. And I'm even doing that with my new horse here in Florida, right? I'm going on Monday to my coach's farm. I'm going to get him off the trailer. We're going to warm up in the outside ring. And then we're going in the big ring, you know, the indoor ring to ride the test. So that even just that skill, right, is a practice skill. So I love the online horse show idea. When it comes to a recognized competition, that gets a little bit more complicated, like a USEF, Canadian dressage. Like you can't, because there are so many rules and regulations that go into a recognized show, that gets a little bit more difficult. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it. And it isn't something you can work for. I think anything right now, because a lot of countries, as we're recording this, are going back into lockdown. So a lot of countries, you know, a lot of barns are going to be doing this winter. And I love the idea. I love the idea of having to ride the test. I think it's really important and really fantastic. So I think it's a great idea. I think Phil does too. I would keep it up. And it may be something, again, we did this, Phil, you did this in your area to invite a local judge, maybe even a retired local judge to come out and safely judge your horse show. We did that also at the farm in Kentucky, and we had a really good time. So I think right now, anything that you can do to stay motivated and excited, you should do it. I think it's wonderful. Well, as always, we really, really love your email and Facebook shout outs. And this was sort of my idea / pet project. And I'm so excited. Phil is going to announce now who has won the virtual lessons with Phil and I. So what's going to happen is we're going to have the person who nominated the lessonee come on the show and tell you the stories, because we got some amazing stories. It was actually really, really hard to pick. And we've got some amazing stories to tell you. And we're really looking forward to that for 2021. And January, we will have the interview, and then Phil and I will do a virtual lesson, and then we'll have a chat with that person about how their virtual lesson went. So drum roll, please.
Okay. Well, the first nominator that we like to award the lesson to is Joanne Irish, nominated her trainer from Southern California, Laura Wilton. So congratulations.
Yay. Congratulations. We can't wait to meet both those ladies.
These sound like amazing stories. And the second nominator is Mandy Collier, and she nominated Maria Romero. So congratulations.
Congratulations. We're going to hopefully get
Mandy and Joanne on to tell us a little bit, because we got great emails. Tell us
yes.
about their nominator, and we're looking forward to doing all of that great stuff.
All of it in 2021. And we can't thank everybody for participating. Like we said, Phil and I wanted to give so many of these out. It was really hard to pick. And these were two really wonderful stories. But everybody who nominated someone else, we appreciate it. And we'll do it again.
We're going to hold on to these yes. Emails. And we're actually probably going to do it again in a few months. Yeah, so
we're going to do it again. So because we enjoyed it so much.
And we got such great stuff that... All is not lost.
Exactly. Don't worry. We still have your emails, everybody, and we really appreciate it. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our website, dressageradio.com. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
I think the best way to find me is through Facebook, or my email is philip@horseradionetwork.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors for allowing us to keep the lights on. That's ProStride, Kentucky Performance Products, Total Saddle Fit, Eco Gold, Han Plastics, and Bait Saddles. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Well, everybody, this is our last show for 2020. And again, we can't thank you all enough for all you do for us and the feedback we get. And we can't tell you how much we really, truly enjoy doing the show for you. And we hope and wish you and all your families around the world a very safe, healthy holiday season. And we know this year's a little bit different. We're feeling that too, but we hope you have a wonderful season, and we're looking forward to having the same wonderful shows in 2021. As always, feel free to reach out to Phil and I. We love it. And we always like to improve the show as well. So happy, safe, be well, and we look forward to 2021.